Hi, it's Dave. Welcome. It's been a rough week for Tesla in the mainstream media. There was a car crash, a deadly one in Houston this past weekend, and no one was found in the driver's seat. Media outlets picked it up, and then financial outlets picked it up on Monday and Tuesday. And they made it a big issue about autopilot and full self-driving safety. And then some media outlets were still going on with the story, even after Elon Musk tweeted that autopilot or full self-driving beta wasn't even enabled at the time of the crash. Now today, Consumer Reports joins in. And in this video, I'm gonna be looking at a Consumer Reports investigation or story from different angles to see what's really going on beneath the surface of things. All right, as usual, as with all of my videos, they are a stream of consciousness and my thoughts can and will change over time with more information. But I think it's valuable just to share kind of real-time processing of these stories as they come out. So here's the story. Consumer Reports decided to test if they could actually hack the Tesla autopilot system to see if they could drive the car without somebody in the front seat. And this story kind of hit a lot of media and financial outlets, and let's take a look at some of the stuff going on. So here's CNBC. They say Tesla cars can drive with nobody in the driver's seat, Consumer Reports engineers find. And then in this story, you have Jake Fisher, the senior director of auto testing at Consumer Reports, says, in our test, the system not only failed to make sure the driver was paying attention, it couldn't even tell if there was a driver there at all. Then he says, Tesla is falling behind other automakers like GM and Ford that use technology to make sure the driver is looking at the road on models with advanced driver assist systems. And then you have Consumer Reports share this video where they explain kind of how they hacked the autopilot system in order to drive the car without anybody in the front seat. So check out this elaborate video by Consumer Reports, and I'll share some insights.
So the first thing I did was I took this car to about 15 miles per hour, engaged autopilot, and then changed the set speed back down to zero, which stopped the vehicle, but autopilot still remained engaged. If your hands are off the wheel, it could also stop autopilot, but I put a small weight on the left side of the steering wheel that wasn't enough to turn the wheel, but just enough to put some resistance there. At this point, I was able to get myself completely out of the driver's seat with the seatbelt still plugged in, and autopilot still stayed engaged. In the passenger seat, I was able to increase the set speed by turning the wheel on the steering wheel. And at this point, it was completely driving on autopilot with no one in the driver's seat. I kept my foot near the brake pedal just in case, but there were people standing by and we were in a closed facility. The car continued to follow the lines on the test track. There were no warnings that no one was sitting in the seat, no one was holding the steering wheel, and no one was looking at the road. No one sitting in the driver's seat, and it continued to drive with no warnings to the driver to stay engaged. Now, we only did this to see if it was even possible, and we were surprised how easy it was to defeat the insufficient safeguards. Obviously, no one should operate their car like this on the road. It's reckless, illegal, and potentially life-threatening. But it's clear the system not only can't tell if the driver is looking at the road, it can't even tell if there's a driver there at all. It would be impossible to do this with systems from other automakers, such as the General Motors Super Cruise system that uses a driver-facing camera to make sure the driver's alert.
All right, so there is Consumer Reports story here. I'm going to share some ideas on it. Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford, he actually tweeted out this Consumer Reports article and video. He says, Tesla will drive with no one in the driver's seat. All right, so here's the 411 on all this. Consumer Reports was proud to see that they could hack the Tesla autopilot system to drive without someone in the front seat. And here's their reasoning. They say, hey, if you can hack a Tesla autopilot to drive without a person in the front seat, then A, that shows that something Tesla is doing is wrong, right? It's Tesla's responsibility to make sure that people can't drive if they're not in the front seat. Therefore, Consumer Reports' conclusion is, hey, Tesla should use the front camera and track the person, face, eyes, etc., to make sure there's a person in the front seat. But here's the background behind all of this, is that the reality is Tesla has added a ton of safety features to Autopilot over the years. And I've been using it probably for about, you know, ever since it first came out. And Tesla has added continuous and more frequent nags, where right now about every 10 to let's say 40 seconds or so, depending on the driving speed and condition, Tesla will, you know, make sure that you're applying pressure on the steering wheel. If you're not, Tesla will eventually give audible alerts and then disengage, right, Autopilot, so you have to take over. Also, there are different times where if Tesla Autopilot can't handle a situation, they will give an immediate audible alert before disengaging. Also, you can't, you know, engage Autopilot unless Autopilot either sees some clear lane markings and is confident that it can navigate on that road. And further, if your seatbelt isn't clicked, Autopilot is not going to engage as well. So the entire system of Autopilot is meant and is designed for human supervision. And it's meant to make sure that a human is looking and is driving and overseeing the system. It's far from perfect, but the reality is that, yeah, people need to keep their eyes on the road. And that's the whole point of the system. The whole point of Autopilot system is not to let people drive the car when they're not in the front seat. In my opinion, it's crazy. It's crazy to even play that game where you're jumping out of the front seat, right, and thinking that Autopilot in its present condition can actually drive by itself. And it's a crazy, stupid, foolish act, in my opinion. And I also think it's unreasonable to demand Tesla to take responsibility for people being foolish and stupid. Like, for example, I can understand if it's a real accident, an unintentional accident. For example, oftentimes people will doze off when they're driving. And that's the whole point, though, of why Tesla has all these nags. And in a lot of ways, their nagging system on the steering wheel might actually be better than eye tracking. Because, for example, you have the camera, let's say the Model 3 has an internal, right, driver-facing camera. There could be a lot of situations where that doesn't really, you know, track as well or keep the person's attention as, let's say, the steering wheel. And I'm sure Tesla has tested this out in many different ways. For example, I might be wearing sunglasses and you can't see my eyes. And my head's against a headrest, let's say. I'm just closing my eyes and dozing off. There's no way I think really, you know, a camera can really, you know, detect that I'm starting to doze off. I think it's far better actually to have a steering wheel system where you're having to, you know, apply different pressure, a pressure to make sure that you're paying attention. And I think that's the whole point. The point is that Tesla is spending an enormous amount of resources. They have a lot of engineers dedicated to safety, and they've tested a lot of different approaches out, and they decided that in order to prevent, you know, dozing off, the nag system is the best that they can do. And what Consumer Reports is doing is they're playing a fine line here. They're stepping out of their role as reviewers or journalists, and they're demanding Tesla to do it their way. Consumer Reports has made up their mind that rather than steering wheel pressure nags, they want, you know, a camera that's facing and recording or just tracking, right, a person's face and eyes to make sure they're on the road. But there's so many technical challenges that I don't even know if that's the right way. But yet Consumer Reports is determined, right, to force their way and force, right, their solution onto automaker like Tesla. It doesn't even make sense. In my opinion, there's a framework on how to do this, and it's Tesla should be responsible for to do the best to make sure that they're doing all they can do to keep the driver safe in terms of accidents. Tesla should not be held responsible if the person is going to play a stupid death game, right? Intentionally trying to hurt themselves or kill themselves or endanger people. That's a different area. For example, let's take an example of you have a bridge, and at the edge of a bridge, let's say at both edges, you don't have a barrier. Now that's negligence because people can accidentally slip and fall off the bridge. What you want is you put a barrier there, and the city requires it, let's say by law, to put a barrier, a wall there, so people can't accidentally, right, fall over the ledge. However, there's gonna be some people who decide to be stupid and, you know, jump over the ledge or kill themselves or whatever. And that's just foolish. And to demand and to expect, you know, responsibility for, let's say, the construction company or the city to have a net that's 100 feet high on every bridge barrier. I think that's just unreasonable. There's a balance here. We need to prevent accidents and do so in a reasonable way, but we also need to accept human responsibility. There's a reality that there are people that are going to do incredibly stupid and foolish things. I think what Consumer Reports did in their report today was really, I think, borders on being irresponsible. They performed an illegal behavior, right? Driving in a car without being even in the front seat. Like, this is crazy. Why would you test an illegal behavior, right, to see if it's possible? Why not test jumping out of the window, right? Why not test putting a blindfold on you and see if you could drive with the blindfold? Why not test if, you know, you could cover the windshield and still drive? There's a ton of deadly, stupid, foolish, illegal things you could do to test, right? And why would Consumer Reports test out, right, trying to drive a car without being in the front seat? It doesn't make sense, right? If you're trying to drive, if a person is trying to drive the car without being in the front seat, it's their responsibility. It doesn't have to do with the manufacturer in any way. Again, accidents need to be prevented. Crazy, stupid, foolish acts of people intentionally trying to hurt themselves, that's up to the person, right? That's the human responsibility. One example is with, let's say, a kid who accidentally might open a door, the back door of a car on the freeway. Now, that could be accidental, right? And in my opinion, that's a safety issue that automaker manufacturers should really try to prevent accidents, right? Unintentional accidents. And that's what they're doing, right? They've added safety locks, child safety locks, where you can set it where a child can't open the back door, right, when the car is moving or the door is locked. And that's reasonable to expect an auto manufacturer to do that. However, if somebody is playing some crazy illegal, right, very illegal and deadly death game, right, that's beyond the auto manufacturer's responsibility. That's the human responsibility. You can't stop every crazy person. And I think to overblame, to scapegoat, and then to also play into the whole FUD and sensationalism of the media reports going on, I think this is a grave error on Consumer Reports' shoulders. That's the thing. This whole week, right, there's been ridiculous reports of driverless Teslas killing people, etc., and Consumer Reports gets on board rather than being an objective voice saying, hey, you know, it's stupid to use a driver assist system without being in the front seat. That's just ridiculous, right? I mean, they should just lay it out for what it is. It's the human, right? It's responsibility. It has nothing to do with the driver assist system. And it's clear, right? The driver assist system is meant to assist. It's not meant to just drive itself. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I think, when you examine this, you have to ask yourself, it's like, why would Consumer Reports, you know, drive with a weight on the steering wheel, right? To try to trick the system, keep the seatbelt locked, and then move over, right, to the passenger seat to test out a legal, you know, deadly behavior, but yet blame Tesla for being responsible, you know, for people's, the consequences of such crazy action. It just, you know, I think, in my opinion, Tesla's, you know, has done a lot in terms of safety, improving safety. They added nags, they added sound, they've notified people, making sure that that human supervision is required during autopilot. And in my opinion, I think, you know, it's something that the Consumer Reports hopefully can admit to and say, hey, we made a mistake, we crossed the line, we shouldn't have blamed Tesla. This was purely, you know, a human responsibility issue. And we were irresponsible in testing an illegal, deathly act, right? And that's my hope. I've reached out to Jake Fisher, the senior director of auto testing for Consumer Reports. Welcome, invited him on my channel to discuss this and talk about it. I would love to hear more of their reasonings. Now, one issue that I think the Consumer Reports story did bring up was that in the story, it says that Consumer Reports tried to reach out to Tesla, but they couldn't get an answer. And I think this, you know, highlights an important issue where Tesla last year dissolved their PR department, their press or communications PR department. And for a lot of these media outlets, they don't have a point of contact at Tesla to confirm or get more information about a story or event, et cetera. Now, this is a complicated story because a lot of times media outlets will take Tesla's response and twist it. They won't even, you know, give the right or objective, you know, story. And so Tesla feels like in some ways they have a better and more effective way to just reach people directly. And that could be true to a lot of extent. But I think there is something about media outlets that, you know, that need to be embraced by Tesla in some ways. The media is filled with it's a whole web, right, of various types of publications and journalists, and they do sway public opinion. And I think it's wise for Tesla, rather than taking this, you know, isolationist approach and saying, hey, all these media outlets, we're sick of them, rather than them, I think an approach to embrace and to actually carry on a relationship would be more wise. So here's an idea. I think Tesla should try out an event where they invite 1,000 journalists to their Fremont factory in one day. And during this day, they give the journalists a full-on Tesla tour of how cars are being made, show them, you know, how batteries are being made, the packs are being made, have some engineers share, you know, some different talks, have, you know, someone from management talk to the journalist, give them a 300 or 400 page, you know, binder filled with kind of FAQs to decode, deconstruct the basic FUD that's going on around different various topics and regarding Tesla. And I think what you're going to find is that these journalists are going to embrace that type of experience. It's like, there's a lot of misconceptions around Tesla where some people still think that Tesla is making fake cars, or they're losing money off of every car, or, you know, there's a million and one conspiracy theories out there. I think for Tesla to bring these journalists for one day only, right? And later on, they can maybe make it more frequent, et cetera, but try it out. And to bring them to Fremont, it's going to really show, it's going to be a whole eye-opening experience, I think, for these journalists. They're going to go back, they're going to have a completely different, you know, frame of mind and perspective regarding Tesla. And this is going to result in a different type of media coverage, I think, at least for those media outlets. Establish a relationship with these journalists. Have, you know, a person in charge of really fostering and encouraging, you know, relationships with journalists and media outlets. Anyways, that's my two cents. I hope this kind of, you know, different angle on this story and different stories are helpful to you guys. Sometimes I think it's helpful just to talk about real-time confusing, you know, issues, but look at them from different angles, trying to get beneath the surface of things. All my videos can be found in an audio podcast. Just look for Dave Lee on Investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm very active on Twitter at HeyDave7, and we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.